Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Hello, and welcome to episode 111 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent, fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my compatriot, my buddy, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi, Adam. How are you?
I am good. Making sure that you are loud enough here. Yes, you are good.
Yeah, I'm so good. I'm so good. Back in the studio once again.
Right, T-O. Good. So, hey, it's been a couple of weeks since we've seen each other, spoken, kind of, sort of.
Right. Yeah, you've been ghosting me. I've been calling. I've been writing. You haven't answered my letters, my postcards, my faxes, nothing.
And Thanksgiving was good for you?
It was good. It was good. For me, how was it for you?
It was awesome. It was low-key, the way I like it. Not like as in Thor and Loki, just low-key. See what I did there?
Come on, Dad. Cut it out.
Total dad joke.
Stop. Just stop.
Yeah, we actually, it was a nice break. You know, I didn't work for most of it at all. Literally, I took Thursday off completely. Didn't even open the laptop. You know, it took like two naps. It was brilliant. My daughter was home for the entire week, which was also great. And yeah, it was good. And then also the week of Thanksgiving, was it that week or the week? It was the week, the Monday after Thanksgiving, I had episode 300 of the Kitchen Sink WP podcast came out.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So
Sounds like a really neat show.
It is. It's a great show. you should check it out. It's kind of popular.
I will. Yeah. I will.
I did my Thankful Weeks episode, you know, like what I'm thankful for this year, and it was actually pretty cool. So that was nice. The other thing I was going to mention to you, which you kind of already know about, but I was listening to Dustin's most recent show, our friend Dustin Hartzler over on Your Website Engineer. And based on his most recent episode, I had an idea. I have a new idea.
What? No. What? Really? I don't believe it.
Yeah, and the domain for the idea is available, but I haven't bought it, so stay tuned. But I will tell you this. I did let a domain go. Like, one came up for renewal, and it had been 4 years, and I had pitched the idea to some other people. People think it's a good idea. It's a hard business to monetize or to make scale and to do well. You know what I'm talking about, but so I'm letting it go. It's going to expire completely. Like, you know, I'm not buying it. I'm saving the $15 this year. And maybe I'll buy that new one that I had the idea from Dustin.
Yeah, that's great. And it's just a funny coincidence. I've been thinking about buying a domain too.
Really? Which one is that?
Yeah, I've been looking at don'tbuythatdomainadam.com.
That's so good.
I think I'm going to start a new venture. Set up a page where people can donate.
Okay.
And every time someone does, you will promise to remove a domain from your cart and not buy it.
Okay. Paying me not to buy domains. I love it.
It's going to work out great. Maybe if we raise enough money, you'll even let more expire.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is
good.
This is great. It's got a lot of potential. And I wanted to let you know also, by the way, that I only... this morning I only hit snooze one time.
Wow. Oh man. This is gold. This is gold.
Hitting snooze is not a hobby of mine.
This is gold, Jerry. It's gold.
Here's my take. Sacks aren't for selling, they're for hitting after a hard day's work.
See, no one's gonna know that one very well. No one's gonna know that one.
Have you ever considered like specializing in consulting exclusively for WordPress entrepreneurs with cat blogs? Am I pushing it too far, or has this become an awkward talk?
Oh wow, that's rough.
This roast has everything but the kitchen pressure cooker.
Oh. This is killing me. My cheeks are hurting really.
Excited about the next segment, man. Can you just start it yesterday?
I will give you props, my friend. That is brilliant. But the funny thing is, I was recently asked to keynote a conference, and I'm working on the ideas and the subject matter. And ironically enough, the fact that you mentioned all these things, I listed out a chunk of those things you just mentioned, and then some things you don't even know about. old businesses I used to have, because I kind of want to do a talk about failing your way to success, and list them out and explain the pros and what I learned from each one of them. So anyway, that was timely and just slightly low blowish, but fun.
you deserve it.
Oh, totally. I think that's awesome.
Anyway, I love that I can have this show where I can just like make all these jokes that obviously nobody gets, because these are like just.
Well, I just to kind of clarify, a handful of those are domains and things I have bought and started, not started. And like, for example, well, it doesn't matter. We'll listen maybe in the show notes. Actually, some of those are live. If you go to adamsilver.com, you can actually see them. There are links there of the properties that I currently maintain and own. So,
yeah.
Speaking of, real quick, adamsilver.com, one of the guys who I work out with, he is a scientist up at Duke, and he sent me a message yesterday on Slack saying that outside of his office was the actual commissioner, Adam Silver of the NBA. He was there for a meeting at Duke with the owner of the Celtics. I guess they're on the trustees of Duke, on the board of trustees, whatever. He was there sitting there and just looking. He's like, hey, the commish's here, because that's my nickname over in F3 is the commish. So if I was working at the co-working space, which is about 10 minutes away yesterday, I would have gone up and just tried to somehow meet him. Because it would be great to get a picture with my namesake, you know.
That would be class. You got to do it someday.
Have to make it happen. And then also get his financial offer for the domain for adamsilver.com, which I do own, and it's back up and live, people. So, anyway, okay. Yeah, adamsilver.com. You didn't mention that one. That's another one, too. Yeah. Mm. Anything else? Nothing else? You want to give me a roast?
No, man. I'm excited about this segment. So, can you start it yesterday?
This is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new.
All right. You want to talk about this one?
No.
So you posted this one in the show notes. So
yeah, Yostevak wrote a blog post, which was nice. He has spent some of his own personal time going over the W3 Tech's CMS market share data. Mm-hmm. And he had some reflections. Yeah, he and I believe some colleagues spent a little time like charting some of the statistics that are provided by W3 Techs, which is the source that most of us end up referencing when we're talking about like it's like the best source of truth we have for market share data for CMSs. And it comes up all the time because WordPress is the leader and we, I guess, care about the percentage of the sites out there that are powered by this software that we kind of like. And so we refer to W3 Techs all the time. Anyway, Yost was really crunching some numbers and trying to like read into the stats a little bit more. And he had a few good takeaways. It gave me some food for thought. Did you have any takeaways from it?
You know, I'm just not surprised. It's just, it's interesting to me, you know, that people have never heard of WordPress, yet it still has 35% of the market share. But it's, you know, it comes down to marketing, technically, you know. You know, whereas you hear all three other platforms, if you will, you know, like the Wix, Weebly, Squarespace, those are all over the place in media. And for a reason, apparently, you know, because, you know, they offer a specific purpose and, you know, and a solution for certain people. So that still surprises me to some extent. Nothing else. I mean, I don't know.
I think it's funny that you say, I feel like it's getting to be a pretty household name. Everybody is bringing this up. Like, when I was in St. Louis, man, my Lyft driver coming after one of the late night parties, he brought up WordPress. I didn't even mention it. And most of us have this kind of story like, oh, on my flight here, I ended up talking to, you know, Matt Mullenweg in the State of the Word had this, some kind of like a joke about like I was chatting with somebody about WordPress on the flight, some just random person.
I mean,
or some my Uber driver whatever is talking about his blog, and I was talking to somebody who like said, what are you here for? Oh, I'm just here for a software conference is what I said. And he's like, well, I've been doing this WordPress thing blah 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 and trying to make some social site. And anyway, I'm like, this is It's pretty common, maybe more than we're appreciating.
I think
everybody's into it.
I think it goes through the cycles for me, at least, where and how and when I meet people, and then people say, "What do you do?" Or if I'm wearing a shirt that has a W on or something, you know, has the logo, and people ask me, "Like, do you work for WordPress?" And then it's like, "How deep do I want to go to the answer?" Well, nobody works for WordPress. You know what I mean? It's like, how do you? So it's because we live in it. at the same token, we're a little biased, and obviously we're a little what's the word?
Right.
Jaded.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like, I don't know. So
I had a couple thoughts. Like, I don't know. Mostly Yost spells it out in this article. So these aren't my takeaways.
Right.
These are his takeaways, and I'm sharing them, the ones that I thought were interesting. And he says points out how huge WooCommerce is, which we know. We already know WooCommerce is enormous. But he put it in perspective a little bit by like comparing the size of the WooCommerce user base compared to other dedicated e-commerce platforms like Shopify. And it's just staggering how many more users WooCommerce has. And then the other observation was about open source and the fact that WordPress is the only, at least visible in the data, the only open source platform which is on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
Every other open source platform is on the decline.
Right.
And this is, I think, a concern, something to be concerned about when it comes to the future. Drupal and Joomla are not and should not be like the WP alternatives that we tease and emphasize. They are like siblings to WordPress.
Mm-hmm.
It's the battle that, if it is a battle, I guess it's not the right language to use, but the one that matters is between closed source and open source. I think that matters a lot more than WordPress versus Drupal and Joomla. It's much more significant and impactful for the future of the web to follow this this difference between closed source platforms and open source platforms. So the WWSS, like the Wix, Weebly, Squarespace, and Shopify platforms, those are all on the rise. They're well funded, very well monetized, and they're all closed source.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are rising. But so is WordPress. But I don't know. This is the time or place to like talk about that too much, but this is something to watch and think about.
Yeah. I think it's because we care about the overall mission is to democratize publishing. We want the open sourceness. We want that community to still be there. And it goes back to what I, remember saying, you know, and I'm telling people all the time, you know, you go to a conference, a tech conference, it's about business. You go to a WordCamp, you go to the meetups, it's about community. There's just a different take on it. I still believe though this, I still in my heart of hearts believe, because of the numbers, because of the scale, that majority of people, and even Matt said this in a state of the word at one point, I think, there are more people using WordPress who will never go to a WordPress event.
There's no doubt.
Yeah. Right? So, you know, and there's a lot of agencies, a lot of businesses who don't care about, in a sense, it's a business tool, right?
Yeah.
So they use the tool, they're monetizing, they're making lots of money using an open source, quote, free tool, or they're building tools and a freemium level as well. But it's a tangential conversation to have. But I understand your concern. I'm concerned too. I mean, if we take a step back, the open sourceness I like. I like the fact that it fosters creativity. It fosters the relationships around the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it emphasizes freedoms.
Freedoms, right? Absolutely. Yeah. So it's there. You go. Cool. Yeah, it's a good article. We'll link in the show notes. It's not that long of a read either. It's pretty easy read.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's good.
Check it out. Yeah,
check it out.
It's not in the notes, real quick. But did you want to talk about the other thing regarding
No.
Okay. I see that you are still going to be like serious. Like really? Like no. I that's fine.
Maybe we'll talk about it later.
Maybe. Okay. Oh, I see what you did there. Okay. All right. Okay, so on that. What you wearing, what you're reading, what you're drinking now. What you're wearing, what you're reading, what you're drinking now. Before we get to this one segment here, I just want to say, I miss you, Kyle. You've been super busy. The holiday came up, but you've been busy. And I just miss talking and chit-chatting, and this is good.
Oh, that's very sweet of you to say, man.
I miss you as well. I might cry. Oh, there's an idea for a domain. I'm kidding. All right. I'm wearing WordCamp Dayton. Or what year is this? I don't know. It's the baseball half sleeve shirt, two tone.
Feels like that was recent.
Sure. You know? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm drinking coffee in a WordCamp Orange County 2014 mug. And I'm reading Invested, and then the subtitle is How Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger Taught Me to Master My Mind, My Emotions, and My Money, parentheses, with a little help from my dad, and parentheses. Interesting, okay. Interesting financial book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're into the money stuff.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a WordCamp Columbus 2016 t-shirt. I'm drinking some eggnog, and I'm reading a book called Traction. No, wait. Actually, well, I'm reading several books right now.
Okay.
At the same time, I'm reading like a fun fiction book, a useful work book, and travel book for an upcoming trip.
Cool, cool, cool. Hey, you know, I want to just kind of go one thing back real quick to news. I'm so sorry I got to do this, but I want to mention that Scott DeLuzio and I still have a thing out there that's happening. I want to let the audience know. If you find a picture of Scott DeLuzio and myself, or myself, on your device from WordCamp US 2019, tweet it out, hashtag it, hashtag sneaky selfie. We're donating $5 to WP and Up.
Oh,
By the end of the year. So you have all month to do that. Okay. All right. Cool. So books, cool. Eggnog, real quick question. You like eggnog? Yeah.
I do. Yeah.
I never really got into it.
Oh, I'll give it another try.
Maybe I'll try that again this year. It's not slimming, is it?
Have you tried the alcoholic stuff?
No,
Like real eggnog?
No.
I don't know. Maybe give it a sip, you know? It's tasty.
Is it? All right. Well, come over. You're going to have some more tonight? Maybe I'll come over.
Okay. You're welcome.
Hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
Hey, Adam, can you hear my audio all right? Or should I unplug this and try my backup speaker instead?
Oh, man. Well, that's not that time. But that's right now. That's right. It's questions time. That's right. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Are you ready? Are you ready, Kyle? Because we got 4 seconds to get ready. Write your notes. You know, if you had told me, I would have given you a sound effect for the hi-hat or the...
That's okay. Yeah. I just brought in Abigail's little kid drum set.
You could barely hear it, though. So
I know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay. All right. You want to read the first one? Or you want me to read it? What do you... I'll read it.
Okay.
Okay. This is kind of long, but we're going to get through it.
It's so good.
Yeah, it is. Hi, Adam and Kyle. This is Joey from Singapore. Hey, Joey. Today, let me ask you your honest opinions about Gutenberg Block Editor. Do you really like it? Among you two, Kyle always sounds more positive towards Gutenberg, but I don't like it at all. When I write posts, I always use a classic editor by even disabling the visual editor as I hand code everything, use paragraph tags, image tags, and fancy box tags, etc., which leads to a concern that all these handwritten tags might be stripped out when old posts are converted to Gutenberg, and FancyBox might become non-functional. As of writing, Gutenberg plugin gets only 2 out of 5 stars with nearly 3,000 reviews, while Classic Editor gets 5 out of 5 with 700 reviews. I understand that WordPress plans to support Classic Editor for the next few years, but after that, do you think we will be forced to use Gutenberg, or it simply means WordPress stops updating Classic Editor, the plugin, but we still are free to use it at our own risk? I'd like to hear your honest opinions. Thanks.
Thanks, Joey.
Yeah, it's a great question. And
isn't it though?
It is.
It's fun. We've got 2 questions in the show today from listeners who like obviously listen to us. Like, isn't that kind of make you feel good?
Yeah. So
yeah.
Do you want to start?
Joey, buddy, pal. My friend.
Oh, Joey.
I'm telling you, dude. You got to just relax. All that editor stuff. That's future Joey's problem. Just worry about present Joey. Things right now are fine. You can write your posts however you want. In a couple of years, you'll deal with whatever happens, and it'll be okay then. The Joey of the future will have what it takes to navigate whatever situation WordPress gives him. There.
Okay.
Chill.
Yeah, it's chill. Okay. So option one, chill. Okay. From you. My friend Joey. Oh, Joey. History tells us, Joey, that honesty is the best approach. But humans have different levels of honesty that they can deal with. That we work within. Parameters, so to speak. It reminds me of the movie Interstellar. You ever see Interstellar?
I did.
It's a great movie. One of my favorites. Where Cooper asks Tars what his honesty level is set to. And the response is 90%. So with that, 90% of the time, I am not a fan of Gutenberg whatsoever. Oh wait, okay. should I fill in the other 10%?
Okay, yeah.
5% of the time, I wonder when will I come around to even really seeing the benefits of Gutenberg.
Oh, all right.
3% of the time, I wonder why people like mint chip ice cream.
And me too.
And 2% of the,
more than that.
And 2% of the time, I wonder who wrote the Book of Love. Thank you, Joey, for the for the question.
Yeah. Good job.
Thank you.
Good job. Okay. Let's get real, man.
No. That was 90% of the time. I can't stand the thing. I use it on sites I have to use it on. I'm with Joey. My other option is continue doing what you're doing right now until we are forced to make a change. And then when we make that change, we'll go over to, you know, Squarespace. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have two things to say before the things that I have to say.
Okay, please. This is brilliant. Yeah. This is good.
First, I've got to say that I don't have to write much in WordPress. I can afford to be pretty aloof about this because I'm minimally affected compared to most of you fine folks. So you don't have to listen to me if you don't want to. You can skip ahead and just listen to Adam's answer because he manages more WordPress content than I do. Next, I will also say this. I don't love using Gutenberg. There, I said it publicly. It's a bit tricky. There's learning involved. I had hoped it would be more intuitive, but there are a confusing number of little gears and pluses and settings and options, and so I don't intuitively know what to do and where to go when I'm using it. I ultimately get there in the end eventually, but it takes me longer than I think it should. But at the same time, I don't love the old editor either. It also kind of sucks. It has oddities and deficiencies, which most of us have just learned to overcome over the years. Now, for the things that I have to say, couple important ones. First, compare, if you could, the amount of time you have spent using the old editor to the amount of time you have spent using the new one. Imagine if that were reversed. What if you had been using the new editor for years and you knew it really, really well? Then you got the old editor and used it a handful of times. What would you think? Well, I don't know. This is just a thought exercise. Also, allow for the possibility that your opinion may change as you get used to it. No, just allow for that, please. The next important point to emphasize, which I bring up whenever we talk about it, change is coming. To the new editor, that is, not the old one. I know we don't like change, but hear me out. Gutenberg is getting a lot of development and will continue to get more and more as time goes on. The old editor will get none. So a day is coming when you will look at the new editor and you will say, dang, this sure has come a long way. It's way better than the first version. And you'll also one day say, whoa, now that is some cool functionality they just put into Gutenberg. I wish that were possible in the old editor, but it never will be possible. That is coming. A day will not likely come when you technically cannot author content in the old editor, for what it's worth. That will always exist in some fashion.
Yeah.
It might get more inconvenient and maybe even silly one day, but I assure you it will always be possible. Ending support for something does not mean that it goes away. Maybe even other entities carry it on. Maybe it exists as a plugin which gets support from volunteers far into the future. Who knows what will happen? If there's a demand for it and from the community, there will people be stepping up to fulfill it. Yeah. Anyway, those are kind of my three key points.
Yeah, I agree with you. that you don't do anything in WordPress anymore. No, I'm kidding.
All right.
No.
All right.
Yeah. No, I mean, I do manage more content than you, obviously. Yeah. But I think there could be obviously Gutenberg's not the new editor is not going to go anywhere within side of core. I think it could pivot. I think it could change again in the next 2 to 5 years where the interface might be more interesting and, quote, easier to use. I think we're so used to the classic editor because we were so used to, like, what's called the Microsoft Word, that tiny MCE, that ribbon, the text box. It's just what we knew for 20, I mean, way before, I mean, WordPress is only 16 years old. Mm-hmm. I say only, but Microsoft Word, WordPerfect, all those editors, all that type of, you know, content writing utility has always looked very similar, right?
Yeah.
So Gutenberg upends that as far as the interface. I get the fact that it's pretty, that it looks nice on the front end, and when you're looking to do a, but if you are so accustomed to one thing, as I am, and like writing content, you know, copy and paste, it just, yeah, it's just difficult to get your head wrapped around. It's going to take a bit of new muscle memory to get to learn. That said, I still think there's a long way to go. Even Matt has said this. There's variations and versions that have to happen and iterate. And I think what may come of it, I think there's an opportunity here for a developer or some designers to come in and I would say Microsoft the crap out of it. So make a whole bunch of layers on top of it so it's ugly again. So
right.
but I don't think, as far as classic editor goes, Joey, it's going to be around for a while. Whether it's supported from the automatic perspective, probably not. Like, and I think in 3 years is when that support ends. I think the community will pick it up. And as far as compatibility, it'll be around for a while because that's one of the oldest, longest things happening in WordPress itself is backward compatibility for old versions of core even. You know, things do get deprecated. Code gets, you know, removed, but there's always that backward compatibility, which has always been one of the bane of the existences for developers to know that things will work backwards. Why? You know, it always go back. Mm-hmm. It's like how far back do you have to go to keep supporting? That's always been from a core perspective, not plugins, but from core, there's always a backward compatibility that's always been inherent and part of the project. You know, you know, and my friend William Earnhardt, he's the one who kind of reminded me on that because you get an old site. And you do the updates, the site won't go down. Plugins usually break because it's the plugins that may not be compatible with the newer version, right? So you would remember that stuff. So I'm like, that's a good way to put it. So it's core that has backward compatibility. Plugins may not. So
yeah,
because of, you know, hooks, filters, you know, the different, you know, arrays, things just kind of that can change.
So, you made me think of another thing to think about, and that's that, like, I think we're on like roughly a couple year. Roadmap before there's planned official end of support for the old editor.
Yeah,
in core from the core team. I feel like it's
2022.
I think that's around what we're talking about.
Right. And there's a lot that can happen between now and then.
Yeah, and here's one thing that will happen is that there will be a slow natural shift. Mm-hmm. So right now, if we look at the pulse of the community and all the users, a little bit reluctant to the change and all the negative reviews on the directory and so on. Well, keep in mind that very naturally things will change over those next couple of years. Because in a few years, like three things are going to happen. A significant percentage of users will just move on to the new editor, will accept it and embrace it, maybe reluctantly, or maybe find that they enjoy it after they get used to it and so on. So there's one group. There's another group that will churn out, for lack of a better term, will stop using WordPress, or their sites will no longer become will no longer exist, or they'll migrate to alternative platforms. There's always site that always happens over time. So in a few years, there's the percentage of sites that will no longer exist or be on WordPress. And then the third group is the new sites, which have come post Gutenberg and don't have any experience with the old editor, so it's not a thing for them. They only use the new one. And so as time goes on, the percentage of people on the new editor will increase, and the percentage of people clamoring about the old one will decrease very naturally.
Right.
And so there could be very likely the demand for the old editor will be dramatically lower by the time official support for it has ended. And you might be one of the it could be thousands or millions of people still kind of clamoring for the old one in a few years, but in all likelihood, it's going to be a fraction of what it is today.
You know, and to go back real quick on his initial comment about the 3,000 reviews, you know, the 2 stars and then that's because people were so angry when they released it. You know, when 5.3
came out.
Tons
of them came out like when it was very early. Early, and it wasn't
very
even
early.
Done.
Yeah, it was beta. Yeah. So that's part of it. So it's kind of a skewed star system, in my opinion. So it's not
nobody goes back and updates their review.
Right, and it's not the Milky Way as far as star systems go.
Right.
Dad joke number two.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the question, Joey. Are we ready to go on?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to ask this one?
What are a few of your office must-haves? This might be an interesting discussion since Kyle just took his office overseas for a bit. This question comes to us from Serena Dawn.
Oh, nice, Serena. Yeah, my must-haves, pretty basic. A full staff to cater to all my whims and needs.
Of course, duh. Goes without saying.
Yeah, catered breakfast and lunch.
Mm-hmm, no-brainer.
Noontime massage.
Do people live without that somewhere?
Right.
I don't know.
Those are my first options. I mean, if you want, you know. Yeah. What do you got? Any? I have a couple sets here. I have 2 sets. Yeah. I mean, set one. That's my.
Okay.
Yeah.
I say oak walls, hot fire, and moisture. because that's right. I work in a sauna.
Right. Right.
You got a problem with that?
No.
Just like you. I do my best work when I'm hot, sweating profusely, and wearing only a towel. Oh.
Cheers.
Yeah. chuckle. Yeah. Maybe a MacBook.
Okay. Additionally, so my second set of requirements or my must-haves, Serena, are a picture of my wife nearby.
Okay.
Seriously, there's one right on my microphone. There's one on my, you can't see it, but there's one right here. Can you see this one right here? There's right there. Can you see that?
Oh, yeah.
So there's one there. It's a little picture from like one of those little Polaroids. I was at a wedding with my cousin's wedding 2 years ago in Palm Springs. So the picture of us there. And there's also a picture of her over on the whiteboard from Paris. So my wife is always, you know, kind of in front of my eyesight or to my right. What else? Good lighting.
Okay.
You know, I like to be able to see things, you know.
Yeah.
A window is always nice to my left.
I've got a picture of you right here, too, in my office.
Interesting.
Actually, well, you and I together surfing, like in
Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Awesome. Second monitor. It's always nice for me. Pretty much.
It's nice.
I try to go when I got this. And speaking of, so I went to I have a standing desk now, sit and stand. So it goes up and down. And I wanted to kind of go minimalistic when I got this desk version, the other one that I hacked together from IKEA parts. I was always standing. My goal on this one was to say one monitor, just only use the laptop. That didn't work. That didn't last that long. So I have a second monitor. I'm actually looking for a new second monitor. I'm going to go like 32 inch ultra wide in 2020. So I might go to a single monitor when I'm at the desk, but just be wide enough, and I'll just clamshell mode the laptop. So, and when I am sitting, because I go up and down, I want a comfortable seat. And ironically enough, my loving wife just recently bought me a new chair. She found an amazing chair at a local thrift store for like $12. Because the chair I bought before this, I bought at a state-run supply warehouse, like, you know, in the schools and colleges, whatever, and the government.
Sure.
I spent a lot of money on that chair. The only good about the chair that now Carson's using, the only good about that chair is it goes pretty high up. It goes high. It's just the up and down. It's pretty cool.
That's true. Everything, it's true when you're tall.
Yeah. Everything else about that chair is not great. And I paid a ton of money for that thing. It was like $4.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. But I got my money's worth. I had it for a year and a half. And then I got this new $12. This is a nice, the brand is, what's that recliner brand? Lazy Boy. It's a Lazy Boy office chair. But it's not a Lazy Boy recliner. It's a Lazy Boy office chair, you know. So,
nice.
We looked it up. It's like $350. So, but it's comfy.
Dang. Okay.
It works out pretty well. So those are, I mean, just basics. I mean, I'm not high maintenance when it comes. Oh, actually, lastly, is I want other seating options. So in the home office, I have a couch, which you can see behind me.
Yeah.
I like to have the option to go sit down on a couch with the light next to me, put my feet up on an ottoman, or be at the desk, or stand, that kind of thing. So I like to move around a little bit.
Yeah.
If I had a little bit more space, I would actually. I've always wanted to set up my own little co-working space, coffee shop look. I would actually wouldn't mind having like a table, like a high boy table. I like that feeling also.
Yeah.
With like a stool, So maybe.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It'd be kind of neat to kind of decorate, like, but this office is not that big. It's only, what, 10 by 10, 12 by, yeah, it's 12 by 12, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have anything else?
I hear you. I like having a lock on my doors.
Ooh, yeah.
That's kind of important. Especially when I'm recording podcasts.
Yeah, I wish.
I like having a window, mm-hmm. and a nice view is a perk. Mm-hmm. So my new office here at this house that we moved to a year and a half ago, so much better. So much better. Like the old office, I guess I had windows, but I had blinds over them, and all I looked out was to the neighbor's driveway.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right. So now I look out at the park. And there's a beautiful and huge park right in front of us. And I can see the squirrels chasing each other and the geese and sometimes the deer and sometimes people jogging. And it's just like a beautiful and scenic. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that. Got to have a dry erase board.
Oh, it's right. That. I should have said that.
I use it quite a lot. Yep. My sit-stand desk, I couldn't work without. Mm-hmm. You know, if some employer said, this is the desk you get, I'd be like, well, then you don't get me if it's not a sit-stand desk. I like having my guitars in the office, you know, pretty regularly, take a mental break to jam. And, as far as overseas, which Serena mentioned, when I went to Europe for a month and a half, I took my laptop, a foldable mount for it so I could set it on a table and elevate the screen a little bit to eye level.
I have one of those too.
Bluetooth keyboard. Mm-hmm. And a mic, so I could do podcasting, and a USB mouse. And that was about it.
Yeah. So, I guess, I mean, as far as, you know, we should do a whole episode. We could do a whole episode on hardware. But I do also have the stand, which I bought the stand to take with me when I was going to co-working spaces. But then I thought I have to take the extra mouse with me and the extra keyboard because you're not going to type up high. But the other thought was, and actually speaking of standing desks, I just stood up, you know, for a second because I figured, you know what, I need to stand. It's been an hour. But
we have the corner office. You know, do you ever think about, like, you're the highest ranking employee in the entire building? You know, you should get the quintessential corner office.
Yeah, it saddens me when I think
you
that
deserve
way.
It.
Yeah, right. I don't know about that. But I'm an old school trackball mouse guy. Like when I'm at my desk, I actually have a hardwired Kensington Expert Mouse Pro. And I have this since, I've had versions of this since college because college desks in the dorms were super small and using a mouse with the ball on the bottom, you couldn't move. There wasn't enough space. So I went to a trackball and I'm really fast with it and I programmed the buttons, et cetera. So, I mean, good question. Interesting question. It's kind of do what you need to do for you. For me, it's a matter of just kind of, I like doing certain things in certain places. Like I podcast at the computer at the desk. I can't podcast anywhere else. And I usually podcast typically standing up, you know, or mm-hmm. I mean, with you, we sit because it's a longer show. On my other show, I'm always standing up. Always. I've never done sitting down.
Yeah.
It just depends. Cool. Those are some of our options for you.
That's fun.
Maybe we'll link in the show notes to some options where you can kind of, or maybe we should take a picture of our stuff. Should we do pictures? No, maybe not.
Then I got to clean up my desk.
Right, maybe not. Okay, so never mind.
Tidy up.
All right. Cool. All right. Should we go to our segment this time?
Let's do this.
Do we have a, I don't think we do.
We don't.
We always mention it. Okay. Vague rant up. All right.
Vague rant up.
Do you want to go first? You go first.
I don't know. Okay, so mine's not that good. I started to get like a little ranty in when I was thinking about this.
As you should.
And then, I don't know, it kind of turned into like this, like a true rant that is almost incoherent, I think.
I'll be the judge of
in
that.
In terms of like I think I end up complaining about multiple different personas, which does not make for a good one. Anyway. You alluded to this earlier.
So, I did, yes.
So here I go.
Okay.
There was a bit of fuss this past week over the Black Friday, Cyber Monday holiday period over Yoast's WP Admin advertising.
Right.
All right. So this was a thing. There was a big stir. The backstory. This is not part of my rant. This is just giving you the context in case you live under a rock or work outside of this industry. Yoast advertised in the WP Admin, which the concept is not super unusual or it's been done. Theirs was maybe a little subjectively, maybe not. See, their ad was a little gaudy, and it was also everywhere. It was not isolated to any particular areas in the WordPress admin. It was dismissible, I believe, but there was some uproar. And by uproar, I mean, like, it got crazy. Like, people were mad, like, really mad. There was a storm. It was trending on Twitter. They got an enormous flood of one-star reviews on their plugin homepage.
Right.
It was blowing up in all the Slack channels. People were posting screenshots just like, what is this? How could they get away with this? Other plugin owners would never get away with this. And there was much rage and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Anyway, and there were threats too. Like Yoast said that he and his wife received personal threats, and just the amount of rage is something I just can't fathom. Now, okay, here is, for your benefit, me enacting a scenario where I start using a product which crosses the line in terms of upsells and advertising. You ready? Here it goes.
Hey, this plugin's kind of neat. Oh, but, these ads are a little over the top. I think I might look around for an alternative.
Okay, that was it. There was no rage. There were no threats and no one-star reviews. There was just me thinking to myself, I don't know, this is a little bit over the top. Here's me reenacting everyone else's reaction to seeing Yoast's ad this past week. Okay.
I'll just log into WordPress and see how my site's doing.
Oh my gosh! What is this? What is that? An advertisement in my WordPress dashboard? How dare they? This is an unforgivable offense. Horror of horrors. I do now vow that the makers of this free plugin, which I have never paid for, shall live to rue the day they dared ask me to upgrade. Curse you, Yoast, and all other plugin makers who think they have the right to ask for money.
The
end.
Bravo. See? Bravo.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. That was everyone else. Mm-hmm. Now, in my scenario, there's no rage, no one-star review, no Twitter rant, and certainly no personal attacks against the creators of the plugin. I think people are insane. Mm-hmm. anyway, WordPress users are incredibly entitled. It's stupid. It really suck to run a business in this ecosystem at times. How everyone just expects and requires everything to be free, and it's offensive to have any premium offering advertised. But Yoast has a really valuable plugin. It is free. You are not entitled to it. You are permitted to use it by a company which is choosing to allow free usage in hopes that enough people choose to buy a premium set of features that they will be able to continue funding it.
Right.
That's how this system works. But I want you bunch of whiny babies to get over yourselves. Stop thinking you're some kind of clever, enlightened critic because you're able to call out a software company for dropping an ad in an unusual place. Now, for what it's worth, I don't use the Yoast plugin personally. I have used it before in the past. I do not endorse the specific marketing tactic they tried. But as someone who's been in marketing for a lot of years, I recognize how much marketing is and always will be about experimentation and pushing until you find the limit of what works. I think that the job of a marketer is a hard one. Your work is always public and by design as visible as possible. It is also generally scorned and publicly critiqued. And something just most people don't want. You're the bad guy. Mm-hmm. The marketers are the bad guys and gals. I never criticize marketers. I think that they have it harder than most people realize. Very rarely, this is something to appreciate, very rarely do marketers get to rest on their successes. Unfortunately, the reality is in marketing, the minute you discover something that works, it begins to decline in its efficacy. Until you die, you just need to keep trying new things. That's how marketing works. Unfortunately, that's the game you're playing. If it starts working, you have to start working on finding the next thing because it will immediately begin declining. And it's just this vicious, endless hamster wheel of experimentation and finding new things. That's kind of hard. Adam, you remember like the time I did an entire talk about why you should choose paid plugins over free?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a few years ago now, but this is a topic I'm enthusiastic about. And if you want to run a business, if you want to make money, you have to spend money, plain and simple, end of discussion. So this, I guess, is like a multi-purpose rant against entitled people who think that they should get stuff for free, and also people who are overly critical of marketers experimenting with the placements of their ad and the tactics that they specifically employ. Again, I don't truly endorse this specific one. If I were on that team, I probably would have said, hey, maybe we should tone this down a little bit. But I'm also someone who said, well, anyway, no, I won't go there.
Okay. yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Don't be so harsh on them, people.
Yeah. I will chill out. I want to add this to the conversation of the rant. I manage approximately 20, 25 client sites at any given time, maintenance wise, you know, backups and stuff. And I would say majority of those are running Yoast.
Okay.
I didn't hear one thing from any of my clients, nor did I even log into the sites to deal with anything and opted out, you know, whatever. That was it. And same as you, I'm like, okay, thanks. And that was it. You know, by the time I saw the tweet storms, you know, but by the time I could have done something about it, it was over. It's like, wow. Yeah. Back to the hashtag WP drama, right? It's like, I don't have time for that, nor do I need to worry about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Not one of my clients said anything to me. Not one of my own sites that we run it on. Yeah. Easy 20, 25 sites. We have it running, you know, whatever. But I agree with you 100%.
Aw.
Yeah.
Aw. That makes me feel validated.
Yeah. There you go. All right. You ready for mine?
Yeah. Hit me.
Okay. So phone calls. You remember phone calls?
No.
We used to actually use, okay, so for those who don't know, for the you youngins, we used to use phones to make phone calls. So first, a refresher. We used to actually pick up a phone out of a cradle.
Like an iPhone?
hold on, youngin. We used to listen for a dial tone. We would push physical numbers, hear the tone generated, the MDF tones, whatever, tones, DTMF tones, listen to the phone ring on the other end a few times. Because from our own experience, we knew that somebody on the other end of that house or that business had to physically get up out of their chair from the kitchen table, walk to the counter or to the wall, pick up the phone and say, hello. And they did this, and they couldn't tell who was calling. They couldn't ignore us because this is time before caller ID.
What?
Yeah.
What if it was someone you didn't want to talk to?
Well, this is the thing. Okay, so I say all this because lately I've noticed this, that I'll call someone on the phone, I mean, through my iPhone, yes, but you know, so there's no more dial tone. That's gone, obviously.
Yeah.
I'll call a friend, and they can see that I'm calling them via caller ID. It's built into every system in the world now, right? And they pick up the phone, they answer, and they say immediately, hi, can't talk. I'm at XYZ event. I'm at church. I'm shooting video, TV, film, or I'm at the library. They whisper, I'm at the library. I can't talk. And I think to myself, then why did you pick up the phone? 99% of the time, I'm calling you, it's not an emergency. If it was, and you didn't pick up, I'd call you again and again and again, over and over again, so you'd realize it was an emergency. So if you can't talk, don't pick up the phone.
Oh.
End rant.
So they didn't, they don't like... They don't text you back because you texted them right before the call, right?
I'm just calling to shoot the beep and, you know, just to say hi, tell you I miss you, whatever. Maybe if you can't talk, don't answer the call.
So you call, but you don't text.
Some people, I want to hear a voice. Yeah, crazy. I know. Yeah.
Okay.
Why pick up the phone and say, hi, can't talk? Why? You picked up the phone. See? Okay, that's my rant.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind in the future.
And I'm not offended. If you can't talk, just press can't talk. Just ignore me. I'm okay with it. I'm not so thin-skinned. I'm not. I'll stop there. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Did phones in the old days have like a can't talk button? You could just push can't talk.
It was a cord you'd unplug or take the phone off the hook. You take the phone off the hook. That's the name. That's the name of this episode. Take the phone off the hook.
Oh wow. Okay.
All right. Well, you want to wrap it up? Should I wrap it up?
This has been a great episode, and we had a lot of fun today. I hope everybody's having a great holiday season, and I hope you had a successful Black Friday, Cyber Monday season. I hope you didn't buy anything, but I hope you sold a lot of things and that you had a lot of great time with your families, and we love you and miss you and care about you, and we hope you visit soon. Oh, wait, who am I talking to again?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Listeners of this show.
Right.
That's right. Send us questions. Okay. Here's the thing. I want some questions for future episodes of this show. Now, let me tell you a little bit. I've been doing different things in the past couple of years, especially in the previous year. By different, I mean like a lot of the things that I'm like burying myself in day to day are a little bit different than some of the things that we've been discussing at length on this show in the seasons past. And I think it would be really fun to have some discussion on this show about some of these other things, which are related to our work. So most of the work that I've been doing lately has been things like figuring out how to foster the right culture within a remote team, figuring out how to recruit the talent that we want for our growing company, figuring out what to pay people that is fair and makes sense for our business, figuring out how to manage distributed employees over the whole world in different time zones. I've been figuring out the role of retreats within a distributed team and how much FaceTime makes sense and how to make that FaceTime as valuable as possible and how to run more effective meetings with your team.
So you're trying to say ask questions that you might have more relevance and current experience towards.
Yeah, I'm trying to just like drop some inspiration.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think that would be fun. I want to open an invitation to a lot of you.
Just making sure see where you're going with that.
Let's talk about some of this stuff too.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Right on. And I don't care about any of that stuff.
I don't care about any of that stuff.
I'm kidding. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Send those questions to questions at getoptionspodcast.com.
questions at getoptionspodcast.com.
This is the new meta podcast. You can find us online, Twitter primarily, at get_options. Kyle's at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I'm at Hey Adam Silver. We're on SoundCloud. Say goodbye, Captain Kyle.
Goodbye, Captain Kyle.